as a family, we kind of decided this isn't what our focus needs to be. We're not going to have this victim mentality that, hey, he has a rare disease, you know, life sucks. We kind of took it upon ourselves to flip the switch, flip the narrative.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients, proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063. In this episode, I'm honored to welcome my cousin, Luke Haynes, to the show. Luke is a spine specialist at VB Spine and advocate for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Born and raised right here in Lebanon, PA, Luke has dedicated his life and career to something bigger than himself. Luke's younger brother, Levi, lives with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, a rare progressive muscle disease. Luke has become a passionate advocate for the rare disease community, and somehow still finds time to run marathons, raise awareness, and inspire the people around him. Luke leads with heart, grit, and drive. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm glad you could be here. You really bailed me out as we were discussing off air. Last minute, I had some people cancel, which happens. You know, life happens for sure, but I appreciate you being here.
Of course.
Yeah. So I want to really dive into your story, obviously, Levi, you know, his story, sharing that. Obviously, a lot of local listeners know Levi, know of the Haynes family, but there are a lot of people that don't know. So we are related through my mom's side.
Yep.
Terry Haynes, so she's one of 14, seven brothers, seven sisters. And then your dad, my uncle, is Gordy. So shout out to my mom and Uncle Gordy and Pearl and everybody if you're listening. Greatly appreciate it. But let's get your origin story, right? The beginning. Let's start with your roots. You're born here, raised here in Lebanon. What was growing up like for you and your family?
Like you said, born and raised in Lebanon, PA. I went to Cedar Crest High School, graduated from there in 2018.
2018.
Yeah, okay. I know, 7 years already.
It's wild.
Time's flying. But I had a pretty typical childhood. Played sports all throughout, you know, elementary school growing up, middle school, high school, was involved in extracurriculars, part of the National Honor Society within the high school. Played baseball and soccer, a little bit of basketball until my freshman year, but mainly focused on baseball and soccer. Got two younger brothers, Lance Haynes and Levi. Lance is, he graduated from Cedar Crest in 2020. Levi just graduated like last week. So we're all out of there.
Yeah. Flew the nest.
Yeah. Yeah. Flew the nest. Exactly. I'm sure my mom's happy about that, but,
yeah.
Yeah, growing up, it was pretty, I want to say typical, but unique in its own way. At the age of, I think I was, it was 2006 when my youngest brother was born. In 2008, he was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So for those who don't know, it's a progressive muscle-wasting disease that stems from a mutation in the dystrophin gene, and we can touch more on this later, but that kind of sparked a whole new change of direction in my life. It's kind of created the foundation of my life after that point, more so once I got into high school and kind of formalized my opinions around it and was able to understand it, because I was 8 years old when he was diagnosed, so I didn't really understand it or comprehend it at the time. But that was a big change in my life. Other than that, went on to graduate from Westchester University in 2022. So 3 years ago now. It's also crazy to think. Mm-hmm. I got my bachelor's of science degree there in biology. And then shortly thereafter, I started my first professional job. And here we are.
So going back, you know, 8 years old, you know, you find out that, Levi has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I know you said, like, you didn't have many opinions about it being so young. Mm-hmm. And then Lance, you know, being even younger. But what was it like when you found out, like, you know, with your mom and dad? What was the feeling of the family?
Yeah, so he was diagnosed when he was two. My uncle, who's a pediatric GI doctor, noticed some things were just off with him in terms of him not meeting his developmental milestones. So like at certain ages, kids should be, you know, going from crawling to walking and being able to get up off the floor. And Levi's progression was just delayed with a lot of things. And we didn't think much of it at the time. And I was 8 years old, so I didn't really know any better. You know, now looking back, my parents found out Christmas Eve when he was diagnosed, and it was just, you know, at the time we didn't have any knowledge about what Duchenne was, like, mm-hmm. what's the life expectancy, like, what is this? This was a total change for us. I think growing up for me, throughout high school, from the age of maybe eight when he was diagnosed to maybe like 13, 14, I didn't really understand it. I was just like, okay, he's different.
Yeah.
But I didn't really formalize any opinions around it or didn't really understand it. And then throughout high school, you know, you mature and I kind of realized like, hey, I wonder what life is like for him. 'Cause it's, you know, at this point in time, I'm 17, 18 years old. He was, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 or 10 at the time at this point. And then kind of understanding around the age of 12 is when most kids with Duchenne become non-ambulatory. So they go from walking to a wheelchair or a power chair. And during that time, I was in high school and I was really just curious about what this meant for our family. And that's kind of where my interest and passion for helping others and taking fitness as a passion so seriously all stems from.
Yeah. I remember, because it is such a rare disease, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, this goes back to talking about timelines, and you know, I graduated 2011 from Cedar Crest, and I remember going to Kutztown, and one of the classes I had to take was like a public speaking class. you know, a public speaking course. And I remember being very nervous, and you had to have a topic and everything. And I remember at that time, you know, I reached out to your mom and I talked about Levi, you know, and Duchesne's. And yeah, I mean, this goes, again, this goes back years ago now, 2011. But I remember, you know, because you want to try to teach and educate people about this rare disease, especially because it's, you know, part of my family, and it impacts the Haynes family as a whole, you know, and it reaches out. So I just remember that pretty vividly, you know, going up and being nervous to talk about it. And man, I think I nailed it. I think even after my speech, you know, people were like, wow, you really did a great job and this and that. Because I'm kind of a, I don't want to say shy, but I don't think I'm very outspoken. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, as I gotten older, maybe I've gotten better at that. But I've said on previous episodes, it's like, you know, it's everyone's fighting different things in life, you know. Absolutely. Whatever it may be. But I remember, like, this is a cause that I need to speak about and get the word out. And I remember even selling the wristbands. I think there were some wristbands and stuff. Yep. You know, I remember that people were coming up and stuff. So, you know, it is rare. Being such a rare disease, you know, as a family, how do you educate yourself? You know, especially now as you're older and you're becoming like a real advocate, where do you turn?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to start, and during my high school, I think it was my senior year of high school, some of us had the option to do an independent study, which, for those who don't know, it's basically you can take one of your periods in high school and you can dedicate it to doing like this project on a subject of your choice. And I was like, during that time, I was asking myself, you know, this is such a mass, becoming such a massive part of my life, mm-hmm. my brother. Because at the time, you know, he becomes non-ambulatory, I have to take care of him. And I just wanted answers to questions that I had. And my mom is a huge advocate for the rare disease community, Duchenne in specific. But going back to the independent study, that's kind of the first place where I took it upon myself, because I didn't really know where to start. I didn't know the resources that I had available. This isn't like a cancer. This is a rare disease. There's 7 forms of muscular dystrophy. We have like Becker, Duchenne, and a couple others, but the most severe being Duchenne is what Levi has. And during my senior year of high school, I got permission from my principal, and I needed the approval of one teacher to support this so that I could write, you know, an essay on it and do research on it. I think my paper was like 12 or 15 pages long.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, it was a time during my life where I just wanted answers. So that's kind of the first place that I went to. I just researched and researched and researched, you know, what was Duchenne? What does it stem from? And to give a little background about Duchenne. So one in approximately 3,500 to 5,000 boys born in the United States will have Duchenne. So it's rare.
Yeah.
The interesting part about Levi's case was that, so it's an X-linked recessive disease. So meaning my mom wasn't a carrier of the Duchenne mutation, and it can only, so the mom has XX chromosomes, the dad has XY chromosomes. It's X-linked recessive, and my mom wasn't a carrier. So the only way that he had could have had Duchenne was through a spontaneous mutation, which makes it even more rare. Wow. So you have a rare disease and then you have a spontaneous mutation. It's like the stars just weren't aligned that day, and this was God's plan, and this is the way it happened. So these are all just different things that I learned about Duchenne. And, you know, growing up after high school, it was part of the reason why I chose to study biology. I was interested in, you know, what is happening at the cellular level within these boys with Duchenne. And to put it in layman's terms, a mutation in the dystrophin gene causes things to go on at the cellular level that don't keep muscle cells intact. Therefore, you get progressive breakdown. So in a normal person, if you work out, for example, you lift weights, mm-hmm. you break down your muscle, and yeah. then it rebuilds itself through protein synthesis and all these different mechanisms. In someone with Duchenne, their muscle breaks down and it does not have the ability to repair. So that's where you get the progressive muscle wasting disease. And the thing about Duchenne is that it affects your respiratory system. So you have your heart, it's a muscle.
They're all muscles.
Affects your heart.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things that, you know, we monitor with Levi. But back to your question, a lot of the resources honestly came from my mom, because she also took it upon herself to reach out to others, you know, just to start, just to figure out, you know, what is life going to look like? What does this mean for our family? And I think, you know, seeing her become such an advocate for Duchenne only piqued my interest in, you know, reaching out to people and joining, you know, later on in life, I joined events and groups that supported Duchenne. You kind of make these connections along the way. And that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick sip break. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. So it's down to like a cellular level.
Yeah.
So you're saying like the average person... we'll go, like, let's say workout. If you're bench pressing or whatever, you're working out, right? You're working your muscles. They will, how do I say?
Break down.
Break down. Thank yeah. you. They'll break down. But then your body has in its cells to rebuild that.
Right.
And that's how you get muscle.
Right.
Okay. In layman's terms, right?
Cause, right. Yeah.
Okay. Dumb it
yeah,
down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So through protein synthesis. Like, you ingest protein. That's why people who work out are so protein focused, like, got to hit my protein goal.
Yeah. Okay.
Protein shakes. Yeah, that. Exactly. So same concept, but with someone with Duchenne, they don't have the ability, cause they don't have dystrophin, which keeps muscle cells intact.
Okay.
So there's no way for their muscles to repair and grow.
Gotcha. And no, there's no, like you're saying, there's no amount of routine or workout or protein shakes you can take, cause
no,
it's not on a cellular level.
Right. It just doesn't work like that with someone with Duchenne.
So being so rare, you're learning, you and your mom and everyone is kind of learning as you're going, really.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's not like a cancer where exactly. there's research and there's studies upon studies, and this is all like uncharted territory.
Right. After doing research for some time, you know, we're talking 2017, 2018. Life expectancy was probably mid-20s, and he's 18 now. And at the time, that was really hard to cope with. Thinking about that, you're 18 years old, you know, you kind of are doing this research about the rare disease that your brother has. You don't really understand why it happened. And you kind of come across a statistic like, hey, the average life expectancy with someone during this time, which was 2018, was, you know, mid-20s, maybe 30 years old. So that was a hard pill to swallow, and I struggled with that mentally for a while, but medicine advances, and we have new clinical trials, you know, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 clinical trials that have been showing a lot of promise. So now I think, I can't say this exact, but I want to say it's probably 40s, maybe 40 years old. We know a lot of Duchenne boys who are thriving with Duchenne, and they're 30, 40 years old. They're entrepreneurs. They're in great careers, and they're thriving with it. So yeah, that was hard. But at the time I was, you know, we knew, especially now, you know, we're like, well, what's next for him? Like college, and we're talking all these different things. But at the time, you know, it was something that crossed my mind, like, hey, you know, will he still be here for high school and graduation and all those things? But as a family, we kind of decided this isn't what our focus needs to be. We're not going to have this victim mentality that, hey, he has a rare disease. you know, life sucks. We kind of took it upon ourselves to flip the switch, flip the narrative, and say, hey, just because he has Duchenne and just because someone has a rare disease doesn't mean it needs to dictate their lives and control them. You're stronger than, you know, what God has given you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we took it upon ourselves as a family to say, hey, don't even worry about that. Like, we're going to give him the best life. And to this day, that's what we're doing.
How do you unwind and clear your mind? What do you turn to?
Fitness. Fitness and family. Those have been the two biggest things for me. Fitness has always been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. Just being an athlete throughout high school.
Talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. And then going through, you know, finding out my brother has a rare disease and, you know, he wakes up every day and I bet you he wishes, you know, he could go for a run or work out or do this and that. So that's kind of where my perspective changed. Like, hey, you don't have to do this. You get to do this. And that's one of the sayings that I kind of tell myself on a daily basis. Like, hey, I bet your brother would love to be out doing the things you're doing right now. Like, you get to do this. This is a privilege to be able to work out and stuff. So that's kind of where my fitness, the foundation of my fitness kind of stemmed from. Yeah, ever growing up throughout high school and stuff, it's been a major part of my life. And that's kind of how I de-stress, going for a run, getting the endorphins going. And then also just talking to friends and family. Because at times you have to remind yourself, like, you're not alone in this, you know? So it's probably the best way that I do it.
I feel like Lebanon County, right, and the community locally really supports, you know, Levi and
absolutely.
Plus, you know, I think 100% because, you know, there's even a picture. This goes back again to Cedar Crest, right? I feel like a lot stems there. That school district, I think, is very supportive, you know, and the teachers to the students to the teachers, they will go above and beyond, at least from what I've experienced. And I remember being a senior, and there's a picture of me somewhere out to share on social media for football. It was football. And Levi was there for the coin toss, and I remember walking out with him, and I had some injury. I wasn't suited up, but, you know, he was little. You know, this is when he was very little, and I still had hair in my head, you know, for the listeners. But, like, I remember those moments because, like, everyone was so supportive, you know what I mean? And there for Levi and for the Haynes family. I think that says a lot about Lebanon County as a whole.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, Levi has been active in the athletics and extracurriculars at Cedar Crest ever since he got into high school. And Cedar Crest has done a great job. You know, it's if you've been to the baseball field recently, there's a new path there that was advocated for and pushed by my mom because the baseball field was not handicap accessible.
Yeah.
So they made that for, because of Levi, for those who are disabled.
Yeah. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he loves baseball. Like, I always see him at the games and stuff.
But that just goes to show, like, Cedar Crest is open to accommodating for their students.
Yeah.
And that's such a great thing to see.
It says a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So now, Luke, you being big into fitness and, you know, using that to, like, unwind. I saw in the form to be a guest, you mentioned that you ran a marathon without any kind of training. Like, I want to talk about that because I know there's also in the past has been Levi's runs.
Yes.
You know, and that sort of thing. And I want to talk about that. But let's start with your, like, fitness journey, obviously high school and such. Mm-hmm. You know, take me back to this moment of what I'm trying to, when did you run a marathon and you didn't do any training?
Yeah. So
it doesn't sound like you. You sound like a guy that wants to be trained.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's an interesting story. This was during college.
Okay.
So my fitness journey starts back as early as I can remember, but fast forward to college, big into lifting, dabbled in running a couple times a week. I think it was just a great way for me again to de-stress from the rigorous course load that I was undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
I was a cell and molecular biology major and it was just a lot. So I think, and I surrounded myself with a bunch of friends who also did the same thing. So it wasn't like out of the ordinary to go for a 5-7 mile run. But yeah, specifically this marathon that I did that I didn't train for. So I was training for, this was during COVID. I was training for, I think it was my sophomore or junior year of college. I was training for the Coastal Delaware Running Festival.
Okay.
It was, I signed up for the half marathon. And I'm training for this half marathon. I was doing like the BPN training app for a half marathon. And typically when you're training for like an event like this, you actually never run the full distance in training.
Really?
You only typically get up to like maybe like 80 to 90% of what the race is going to be. So for example, I was supposed to be running a half marathon. I think the farthest I ran was like 10 or 11 miles in prep. And because of COVID, the half marathon got canceled. And the race directors were like, hey, you know, if you do it on your own and submit your time, like we'll send you a medal and we'll record the results, et cetera. Okay. And I was like, okay. So it was a Saturday. Woke up. I think it was like 5 a.m. Went to the Lebanon Valley Rail Trail.
Yeah.
Started at the expo.
Okay, good.
Expo. And I told my friend, I was like, I just wanted to feel something. And as weird as that sounds, it was the mentality that I've always had growing up. I wanted more out of life. So I'm training for this half marathon. It's race day, but it's like a virtual race, right? We're doing it on our own. So yeah. I go out. And
who was your friend real quick? Do you remember? Like who was with you?
Nathan French.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big
fitness guy too.
Yeah. So yeah. I go out and I told my friend, I was like, hey, like I might just run a full marathon just to see mentally if I can put myself through it. So I'm running and I get to like 6 point something. And I was like, okay, this is my turnaround point, you know, 6 point. Whatever out 6.055 and then run it back.
Okay. Yeah.
To get 13.1.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I feel good. Let's keep going. So I'm going, I hit the half marathon mark and I was like, that was the goal. Like if I run 13.1 out, yeah. I have to run 13.1 to get back. Like I didn't take my phone with me. I didn't take anything. What? No one can come save me unless I find someone on the rail trail to
help,
to have a phone and for me to call my mom and say, hey, come pick me up.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see where my mind would take me. And it was painful. It was ugly, but my mind took me 26.2 miles. My body gave up at like 18 because I wasn't trained for it. The farthest I did in prep was 11.
Okay.
And
wow,
I ended up running 26.2 miles. Sounds crazy, but wanted to find more.
So mentally, what, like, you know, you want to feel something, you know, what do you go through when you're running like that? Cause I've heard people say like, oh, I got like a runner's high, or, you know, you just like flip a switch. What is that like?
Specifically on that day, it was, I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast are familiar with David Goggins.
Oh yeah.
Growing up, I was a huge fan of him. Still am, but he's crazy. But this was during a time period of my life where I was like a full Goggins fan. And I downloaded a playlist of some of his sayings on my watch.
Okay.
And the playlist was maybe eight minutes long. And I listened to it because I didn't take my phone, but I downloaded it onto my watch and I had AirPods in. And I replayed that like 6, 7, 8 minute loop on repeat for like 4 hours. Because it took me like 4.5 hours to finish this marathon.
Okay.
But a lot of the things he was saying, I was resonating with. And he talks about this cookie jar. It's about all the hard things you've done in your life. You put it into this cookie jar.
Okay.
To remind yourself what you've gone through and what you can do. And a lot of times it's during this run, I was just thinking about my brother. The day I found out he was diagnosed, finding out the life expectancy, like that was a hard time in my life. There's nothing in this run that will ever come close to being that hard. So I kind of just mentally reminded myself that, hey, you've done hard things. You've overcame hard things in your life. You've built the confidence over time by doing hard things through running and whatever it was. But yeah, I took it mile by mile and it compounds.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And that same David Goggins what do you say, like 4 or 5 minute clip, just kept playing, just kept playing.
Yeah,
you could probably recite it at the end of your run.
Yeah,
you recite it word for word. Yeah. That's wild. So like your body, you know, because you never ran a full, right? Was it a full marathon then? Or?
Yeah, that was a full.
Okay, so that one was a full. Your body at the end of it had to be hurt.
It was wrecked.
Yeah,
it was wrecked because I wasn't prepared for it. So it was mentally. I just wanted to see what I could do.
So mentally, like, I'm just going to keep going. Yeah. Like, your feet are probably screaming. Your legs are burning.
I was cramped. I was hobbling from bench to bench on the rails trails.
No.
Yeah. Like, okay, I got to make it to the next bench.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Was French with you? Was Nathan?
No, I was by myself. Jeez. Oh, that's the other part that I forgot to mention. I told him that I might do this.
Okay.
And it was going to be a couple hours because I knew I wasn't fit and ready to do it, like, in a fast time.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom told my mom that I was going out for the half marathon. It'll take me maybe, you know, an hour, 45 minutes.
Oh, I bet she's worried.
And she was worried. She came. Yeah. She almost called the police because she didn't know where her son was because he hasn't been home in 4.5 hours. He said he was going for a run.
Right.
The last thing she was there, the first thing she was thinking was, you know, my kid got kidnapped or something happened.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah.
So she ended up coming to the trail and like walking down the trail and like telling people to look for me.
Oh my Lord.
And eventually I got back by the time she was there, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord. Pearl's probably flipping. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, but that's what I mean. So you get back, how do you recover? Like, what was your recovery process for your body?
Oh man.
And stuff. Or at that point, were you just like,
My take on recovery has changed so much since that time. That was 2020. Yeah. And I think, you know, stretch, foam roll.
Okay.
Eat a lot, just hydrate yourself, and just rest. That's all I really did for recovery, which is fine. But looking back on it, I could have done so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like what would be more? What would you do now?
Well, the biggest thing just to be able to recover faster is to be prepared for the race. Mm. I wasn't prepared.
Okay.
Like if I ran a marathon now, I would be able to run the next day and I would be fine. I might be a little sore, but compared to when I did it and I wasn't trained for it, like that's the biggest way you can recover quick. Besides the nutrition and the sleep, obviously that stuff is still important. I would still do that, but the biggest thing is just in training, you need to prepare your body and mind for the event you're going to do.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing.
A lot of it's mental, would you say?
A marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just as much physical as it is mental.
Okay.
Like most people can run a marathon, but you need to be physically and mentally prepared to do so. Yeah. Especially for longer distances, like ultra marathons. And yeah. That's different, but
those are hundreds or 100 miles.
Yeah, anything over 26.
Is that what it's considered?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but there's 100 mile races. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, have you ever dedicated a run in Levi's name? Like, ever ran one?
Yeah. All the runs that I do them for those who can't. That's one of my sayings. I do it for those who can't. But in more specifically, the Levi's runs that we used to host, those were all in the name and for Levi and benefited, and we raised money for Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
So there's been, you know, five local 5Ks that I've done in Levi's name. But since then, you know, all the runs that I do, it's a lot of it is for those who can't.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do a wristband so far each year, and that's what's on the wristband for those who can't. Was it a Navy SEAL? I believe it was. Was it Chad, his first name? I'll have to share.
Chad Wright?
Yeah.
Does he have really long hair,
long
beard?
Hair and a beard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chad Wright.
Because he talks about For Those Who Can't.
Yep.
And
it's powerful.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Because I've seen that clip and I was like, wow. Like, if you take that in life in general, like, no matter what your story is, it's like there's somebody out there that wishes they were in your shoes. You know what I mean? That would give anything to be where you're at. Do you have any future fitness challenges that you're like eyeing up, right? Because I know you and we mentioned like Greg Munyon and Mitch Spittle off air, even your brother Lance, right?
Yeah.
You guys are big into fitness. Nathan French, like, what do you have something coming up that you're eyeing, like a marathon of sorts, like the Philly Marathon or was it the Boston Marathon?
Yeah. So I have a little backstory. I've been battling this injury for like the past 9 months. I have like an outer knee injury, and the doctors are trying to figure out if it's like IT band syndrome really bad or if it's like a nerve issue. So I'm like in the midst of getting like MRIs on my lower back because you have exiting nerve roots here. And it's funny because I'm like a spine rep and now we're talking about my back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, you have like exiting nerve roots that come out of your lumbar spine and they travel down the back of your leg and they go out. So you have your sciatic nerve that branches into your peroneal nerve. And I might have some nerve issue, but I missed a lot of races last year. I was signed up for the Chicago Marathon.
Okay.
My brother and I were supposed to run it. We both went. He ran. I didn't. I was supposed to run the Philly Marathon. He ran. I didn't. I couldn't run.
Yeah.
My knee was blown up. There's a couple other races that I missed. So I have a bunch of different races on the schedule this year that I hope I can run. It's looking better.
Yeah.
But man, I want to do so much. Like I want to test the limits of not only the physical, but the psychological aspect of running and pushing your body.
Mm-hmm.
I think human behavior is so interesting in the sense that how can one take their body 100 plus miles in an endurance race? Like what happens mentally? Like how do you carry yourself that far? So yeah, I want to start by getting some miles back on my feet, but I'm signed up as of now for Chicago Marathon this year, Philly Marathon. And those are like the big two that I want to just be able to finish. I want to be healthy enough to complete it. I'm not really going for a time goal right now. Right. I ran a marathon in the past. It was in 2023. I ran the Virginia Beach Marathon. This is my first actual marathon that I trained for.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward in the future, I mean, I'd love to do an ultra marathon, and the Leadville 100 is very historic and very popular.
Okay, what's that?
It's a 100 mile ultra marathon through the mountains of Leadville, Colorado. There's like 30,000 feet of gain. You climb up and down this mountain they call Hope's Pass twice. So you go up it, you come down it, and then you turn around and you go back up it and come down it. And you're at high elevation. So like it's a different animal. Exactly. Yeah.
So what do you think drives that in you to want to push your body and push your state of mind, right?
Yeah. Again, I just think it's, my reality as a kid was you can either be a victim to your situation or you can squeeze the most out of life that you can. And seeing my brother not be able to do that puts a fire under my butt, basically.
Just all in.
Yeah, all in. Full like send. Yeah, and it's frustrating now because I'm injured and I want to go. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to, you know, raise money for Duchenne while doing these events.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think growing up in that kind of situation, really, it just changed something for me. It's like a rewiring of my brain and the way I approach life, the way I think about it. That's what drives me. And I'm just curious about what the human body can do. And it's addicting. It's addicting. Yeah.
So I've heard like other guests have said that, you know, they've been on the podcast that have sat in that seat. They say it does get addicting. What about it? Like, is addicting.
It's the feeling of accomplishment, and you put in all this training, you know, 16, 20 weeks, 6 months, even years of training, and you get to, you accomplish this goal, and it's the best feeling in the world, you know, towing that line and then crossing that finish line, having a successful race. And I think it's just the type of people that do these events and that are really into fitness and bettering themselves, and not only in the gym, but you know, in the kitchen with their nutrition and all that. You have to be, you can't be one dimensional in fitness. You can't have one without the other in terms of like, if you're going to lift weights, you need to have the nutrition to back it up. But yeah, finding out what's possible is what motivates me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. wild. From an outside perspective, it's like, man, you're doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That the human body, you almost think, like, the limits are being pushed, you know? Right. And it's awesome to see, because it's like, I support these guys big time and anybody that's doing it. But at the same time, it's like, you're putting your body through some hell, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You can mess yourself up doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard on your body. Your body's not supposed to run 100 mile races. Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like, it's not really supposed to do that. But yet, you find a way to get through it.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah.
And that's what makes me curious. It's like, how can we do this and then do more after that?
Dang, do more. Yeah. He wants more.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's we'll take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild to hear like stories of Mitch and Greg, and even seeing you and Lance, it's like, wow.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, Lance is qualified for the Boston Marathon.
I thought I heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no easy task.
Not at all, especially now that the standards are, I guess you would say, higher. You have to run faster to get in.
Okay. Yeah. You have to have better times.
Yep.
Okay. Dang, that's crazy. I think throughout this episode, we can all agree, you know, you're someone that shows up fully for your job, for your family, for your community. You know, looking back, how do you think growing up has shaped you as the man you are today?
Yeah, my past, like I said before, really created the foundation for kind of the way I run my life. You know, We're all in control of the present tense. We can't control what happened in the past, or that we can't control the future, but living with a rare disease in my house, you know, most people wake up and pop out of bed and go to work. Well, before I do that, I have to, you know, get my brother out of bed. I got to help him go to the bathroom. I got to brush his teeth. I got to do all these things that most people don't even think of. So it's just going through years and years of that as his brother, which really kind of stemmed my interest and passion for, you know, helping others. I was his home health aide growing up, which is why I, you know, essentially chose the field that I'm in my career, because I wanted to help others, and I wanted to be a part of something that was bigger than myself. And if you think about it, I know I haven't said much about my career yet, but I have a field-based role. So I'm in the operating room every day. And the way I look at it is like, you get to be a part and make an impact on potentially someone's scariest day. They're getting surgery.
Yeah.
And you get to be a part of that, and you get to help in some way. So that's kind of where my background was, like, you were put on this earth to make a difference and help others. And to be honest, you know, I'm still figuring it out. I don't know what I want to do in 10 years, but that's kind of how my background has gotten me to this point. Like, you were given this situation. You can either be a victim of it, or you can make a change for the future. You can be an advocate for this. You can grow this. You know, it's not known as a cancer yet in terms of popularity, but who's to say it can't be? So It has to start somewhere.
A small stone will make a large ripple. Exactly. You know, explain when you say, like, you're in the field as a spine specialist.
Yeah.
Right. What does that entail? Like, you said you're in the operating room.
Yeah. I started at Stryker in 2023. Which is a medical device company.
Okay.
So they make, if you ever walked into a hospital, you've probably seen like hospital beds, and they have more likely than not, they have the word Stryker on them. Cause the Stryker's like orthopedics division is one of their biggest divisions, but you see like Stryker this, Stryker that when you walk into a hospital, if you have ever taken notice. So that's the company that I worked for from 2023 to 2025. And then I worked in two divisions actually. So I was like cross divisional. And one of my divisions got bought So they were acquired by a different company, okay. which is now called VB Spine. So I transitioned with that. And so I'm a spine specialist at VB Spine. And my, it's a field-based role. So I'm in the operating room and my job is basically so my senior rep in our team sells spine implants. So if you know someone who's ever gotten back surgery and they had a fusion done, more than likely they have screws and rods and stuff in their back. That's what holds the bones together. Okay. Those screws and rods are provided by a third party company, being Stryker or Medtronic or Johnson & Johnson, like these big companies, right? So these big companies have reps that sell to surgeons, and doctors will schedule cases with us saying, hey, you know, I have a fusion case coming up. It might be like a posterior lumbar case and they want to use our products. Then they get me in the room with the products and I'm educating the scrub techs and the nurses on how to use our products for this surgery.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the gist of my job.
So it's almost sales, but it's educational. And then are you there like during the actual procedure?
Yep. Yep.
So you're like also kind of a nurse role or like how to...
I know what you mean. So typically in the operating room, you have a surgeon, his assisting, whether maybe it's like a PA or something.
Okay. Yeah.
You have a scrub tech, which is someone who is handing off instruments to the doctor. You have your anesthesiologists, you have like an x-ray tech, and then you have a rep. So the rep is what I am. I'm spine rep.
Okay.
So everybody's sterile. So the surgeon, the scrub tech, the PA, they're all sterile.
If you're washing up full gloves.
Yeah, I'm not, but they are.
Okay.
Because they're sterile. They're the only ones that are touching the instruments. So all the stuff is like wrapped prior to surgery by sterile processing department. Once the trays are opened sterilely by the people who are sterile, then I'm unsterile and I'm standing kind of behind the tables, just like pointing and telling them, hey, this is how you put a screwdriver together because we have to load this screw that's going to go into this person's back.
What?
So I'm explaining to them how to use our products.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's kind of like...
I never knew this was a thing.
Yeah, neither did I. That's the crazy part. Yeah.
How did you... okay. So like you went to Westchester,
yes.
right? And you graduated there. How did you find out about this? Like,
after college, I took a gap year. I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I applied for a bunch of different jobs at Hershey Med Center. I didn't get them. I got one, but I denied it. I didn't see myself doing it. But my mom used to be a pharmaceutical rep for Johnson & Johnson years ago. And she was like, check out Stryker. Like, they're the big wig in the med device industry. And I was like, okay, like, these guys are never going to hire me. Like, who's Luke Haynes?
Yeah.
You know, they're a top dog, like, in the med device, you know, top 10
in the world. Gotta shoot your shot, you don't know unless you try.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did. And lo and behold, after 8 interviews,
damn,
2 tests... the interview process for these companies is very rigorous because they want top talent.
Okay.
And yeah, I was fortunate enough to make it through. They liked me. And I happened to really like it.
Yeah. I never knew, like, obviously the surgeon and the surgeon's assistant and the scrub and the anesthesiologist, you know, puts people to sleep and stuff like that. But you're there as a rep making sure that if they have any questions, right?
Exactly. Because we're the product expert.
Yeah. You're product expert. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, like, the surgeon doesn't have time. Hey, call him up on the phone, call Stryker up, you know, call Luke. You need to be right there.
Yep.
So how many procedures have you, you know, stood in on?
In 2 years, probably close to 400 to 500.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I honestly thought you were going to say like 40, 50.
No.
400 to 500. Yep. Wow. And okay, so where are these? Where do you go? Here in PA?
Yep. So my territory is South Central PA. So we cover down to Hanover, all the way up to State College, York, OSS in York. We cover West Shore, Harrisburg.
Yeah.
And we have a couple different reps in our territory. So I'm not responsible for all those accounts, but I have like my primary accounts, which are like 2 or 3 hospitals.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow. And you love what you're doing.
I do. Yeah. It's... can be stressful, but pressure, it can be high pressure, but it's fulfilling as well, being able to help somebody on their scariest day. and they're getting spine surgery or, yeah.
Making an impact for sure.
Exactly.
Wow. That's wild, Luke. Holy cow. Yeah, man. So being an advocate for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, for your brother, now you're involved in, you know, what'd you say, in 2 years, 400 to 500 spinal surgeries.
Yep.
So you're making an impact there. For people listening, you know, that might have a loved one or a sibling facing something like a rare disease, what would you want them to hear today?
They're not alone. There's resources to go to. You can't, you'll eat yourself alive being that, having that victim mentality that, like, hey, my life's going to be terrible forever. Like, no, you have the opportunity to make a change. And change is scary. Like, it takes time. But I would tell them that you need to put yourself out there in a position to succeed. And that starts with a phone call to a resource group or a text message to someone and saying, you know, hey, this is what I'm going through. I don't know where to start, because, you know, starting can be the hardest part sometimes, but, you know, once you start, you kind of figure it out. And there's a lot of other people that are going through similar things that you are, and life's hard. It's supposed to be hard. But I think everybody was put on this earth for a reason, and I would just tell them, reach out to others, because there is a lot of support out there.
Yeah, and you said life's hard. It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because I think if life were easy, this is a quote that I've heard before, that anything that came easy was never worthwhile. So I think we grow a lot in hard times. And the reality is that life is hard. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Most people, at least.
Well, for sure. I'm not arguing.
And for anybody who, you know, is wants more out of life, and sooner or later you're going to get punched in the mouth. It's up to you to decide what happens from there. So I never found fulfillment in just being comfortable. Like the things that are, you're going through the motions in life and you're like, oh, this is easy. Like I was never fulfilled from that. I never felt good afterwards. When I'm doing something that's hard, it might suck at the time, but on the other side of that is a newer, stronger version of yourself that you would have never imagined. And that curiosity is also what drives me. It's like, what else, you know, what else is out there that I could achieve?
Yeah. So to learn more about Duchenne muscular dystrophy, or to support rare disease community, I will put a link in the show notes. Again, education, advocacy, and just trying to spread the word. But if this episode has moved you, or if anyone listening took something away or you learned something, please feel free to share, leave a review, and follow American Grown Podcast for more stories from the heart of our community. Luke, before we close out, is there anything else that I might have missed or not known that you wanted to talk about?
To leave the audience off, I would say, continue to put yourself in situations and surround yourself with people who that are going to make you better. Your environment is a massive dictator of, you know, human behavior and who you are as a person. So surround yourself with good people. If you're religious, go to church, work hard, and you'll be all right.
You're a product of your environment.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So Luke, thank you for being here, for your vulnerability, for your work that you're doing both professionally and personally. You know, your story is rooted in love, resilience, and purpose. I know it's going to inspire a lot of listeners. So Luke Haynes, spine specialist at VB Spine, an advocate for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. from individuals to businesses with no minimums or design fees ever. Inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.